We're standing here in the Loop, a nondescript alleyway, and we're going to get to it in just a moment, with Chicago historian John Schmidt, who was once a high school teacher who turned into one of the preeminent voices in Chicago history. He's talking about your new book, Hidden Chicago Landmarks. John, great to see you. Thanks for coming downtown with us today. We want to talk about this. But what was the impetus for doing this book?
Well, about 30 years ago, I bought my first house. Actually, God, 40 years ago, I bought my first house. And I'd already been working on my PhD, and I'd already been teaching history for some years. But when I moved in, after I'd been there for a few weeks, I found out there was this house down the street from me that was a historic landmark, kind of a notorious historic landmark. That kind of started me collecting these things of the hidden parts of Chicago that usually aren't reported, the places you don't get in the usual tour guide, and kind of funky in that way. So that's how I got started.
Well, you know, it is interesting because you're right. It's a cottage industry to have tours of history of Chicago or the architecture.
Yeah.
They're making, you know, worldwide
gangster tours. Yeah.
But when you think about Chicago history, especially where we're standing, there's no plaque. There's no remembrance. People forget.
Well, it used to be a plaque, but it disappeared. But anyway, talking about where we are.
Yeah, let's talk about it. So we are standing right here in a nondescript alleyway in the heart of the Loop right off of Monroe. Why this spot? What are we talking about today?
Okay, well, we're at the north end over here of a piece of property, actually the west end of a piece of property. You got to go back to 1833 when this was kind of empty farmland and so on, the early years of Chicago. And a man named Willard Jones bought a plot of land from the state of Illinois north of Monroe Street, 90 feet in from Clark Street, and went from Monroe to Madison. And he owned this land, and he conceivably was a farmer there for a few years. And then things get a little involved. After a few years, he sells the southern half of his land to a guy named Barnes. Okay, but the Barnes land is only 80 feet wide. There's a 10-foot wide strip at the west end of the property that they keep over there. Willard Jones keeps it there for access to the south. Presumably, he wanted to take his cattle down this 10-foot.
He wanted to take his cattle. It's a cow pass. Yeah,
but there was a cow path. There was where the Board of Trade is today. That was pasture land. So he keeps this cow path. He keeps this access. Well, a few years later, Willard Jones, being an entrepreneur, he sells off the north part of the land. He sells it off to somebody named Henderson. But written into the deed is that the Henderson and his heirs will continue to have access through this 10-foot wide path going down toward the
And it's amazing
pasture
to think about, too, because, you know, where we're at, even after the Great Chicago Fire, I mean, they started to build and build and build in this area. To think that Monroe and Clark Street in Chicago downtown, with all the hotels and everything that's happening downtown and the bustling Loop, would actually be a cow pass that would be right in the heart of it. It is big enough, you're right, to be a spot for cattle. Let's walk in. Let's just walk right through here, and you get between these buildings. You can hear how it changes. But this is, you'd have no idea this is here. This is a wide indoor alleyway that is for cattle.
Yeah, originally this was an alley, and this was before the current building built up here. So for many years after the fire and so on, this looked just like an alley. Then in 1926, the people that have the southern property, the successors to the Barnes family, they decide they want to build this 22-story building up here. Well, the people on the northern part, the successors to the Hendersons, they look into their deed and they see, oh, we got this 10-foot wide access to your property.
Right.
You can't build on this access way unless you pay us a huge amount of money. Well, the people on the southern part here that want to build a skyscraper, which was what 22 stories was in those days, they decide, crunch the numbers, and they said, hey, we'll just redesign our building. You know, the heck with you guys. And that's what they did. They just redesigned the building, and now you've got it.
So that goes over it.
Yeah, it goes over the cow path. Over the building actually goes over the cow path.
It's an indoor alley.
It's an indoor alley,
basically.
It's an
indoor alley, wow.
And, you know, this got a lot of press at the time in the 1920s, and it became a big tourist attraction for a while. Mayor Kelly came out here in the 30s. He put a plaque on it. They did the WPA guide to Illinois.
This was a big deal.
It's a great story.
So what happened? happened, John? I mean, when you talk about hidden Chicago landmarks, we're standing in it. No one's bothering us. It's public property, I guess. But no one from the street. If you're on Monroe Street, you would have no concept that this is here. There are two big black doors. It's nondescript. It looks like it's private. You would have no idea that this is here.
I take exception to that, Justin, because people are going to buy the book, and they're going to look at the book. It's the first story in the book, because that's how it's geographically organized. And they're going to say, wow, let's take a look at the cop app. And I feel sorry for the guy out there who's sitting there collecting for the valet parking for the Hyatt Centric Hotel, which, by the way, we should give them a plug, Hyatt Centric Hotel.
So, John, what happened here? Because you mentioned the plaque, and this was a tourist attraction. Did greed take over? Did we just forget about this crucial moment in Chicago history?
Yeah, basically, people forgot over the time. During the 1970s, when they were building on the north part over here, this came into the news again, and they did a search through the legal books and everything. And during the 1970s, people said, "Well, maybe that cow path proviso in the settlement, maybe that doesn't have any kind of a bearing after all."
Right.
So you know, it was kind of up in the air what's going on.
It's hard to believe there wasn't a legal challenge, but at the time, the buildings around here said, "Well, you know what? There's nothing that stops us from closing this off," and they did it, and there was no legal challenge.
Well, they closed off the north end over here. Now, conceivably, the people that own the building in the north end, they can just get out and they can walk right through here like any other person can. So they still got their access. They just chose to close off their own section.
It's a fascinating spot that we're in, and it's awesome for Chicago history. But this is all of your book, whether you're talking about where you know, Ronald Reagan's home, whether you're talking about landmarks, who's in the Logan's tomb,
right.
Everything down you could think about.
Oh, you go all over. You get
book.
The Leaning Tower of Niles. We go to the southern part of the city. There's an enchanted lake that many people don't know that's there. But, you know, you drive by. There's a lake out there? Yeah, there is a lake out there. A little lake called Lake Calumet. You know, you see it on old maps, but is Lake Calumet still there? Yeah, most of it's still there, or at least part of it. You know, and there are all kinds of landmarks. Chicago's oldest public monument, right on the border. The Christmas Story House. Dip over into Hammond, but that's Chicago Metro. You know, there are a lot of places.
When you're doing this, you know, because a lot of it is like, hey, I remember this place, and I remember this place. But how do you go about researching this? Where do you find all these stories to put into your book?
That's the good thing with going to graduate school and studying for a PhD, particularly at University of Chicago, where they work you hard. You look into old newspaper reporting is the first thing you do. And then you double it up. You look under census records. Like in census records, you can find out where Joe Lewis lived in 1940. That's how I put that. That's how I confirmed that. That's how I confirmed city directories. That's how I confirmed that there's still a house in the city on the south side where Clarence Darrow lived. And that house is still staying. As a matter of fact, they just renovated it a short time ago. So that's what you do. You look into a variety of sources.
Well, the great thing about it, too, because most Chicago historical places are going to be, there's going to be a plaque. There's going to be some sort of designated marker. But a lot of the places in your book, that's gone. That's a bygone era. There's no plaque here that says anything about the cow path on Monroe. There's many of the, like you said, many of the houses, there's nothing that says, you know, this is the house where Carpenter was caught, or, you know, all the things that are in your book. So there is something great about trying to collect this stuff. And for the person who is a Chicagoan by heart and loves Chicago history, not a lot of people know about this stuff anymore.
Well, the Hyatt Centric Hotel here seems to know about it. They named one of their conference rooms after Willard Jones, so at least they knew it was his property. And so far, they're not trying to close off the access over here, but I don't know. Maybe if we get a lot of people going through here on tours or something like that, we might get another legal.
They could put a coffee stand right here.
Yeah,
they could
do a lot of things. So
it really is an indoor alley because you've got garbage and some other. You would have no idea the significance of this spot in Chicago's downtown. John Schmidt, the new book is called Hidden Chicago Landmarks, and we're going to continue. We're going to have a series here where we got to go and see a bunch more with you because this is fascinating and this is truly Chicago history, John. Thanks for taking us to the cow path here at 100 West Monroe Street in Chicago.
Thanks for having me, Justin.